This audio is brought to you by Muslim Central. Please consider donating to help cover our running costs and future projects by visiting www.muslimcentral.com/donate.
Assalamu alaikum, everyone. I have a surprise for you. I am suddenly in Canada. I was last week in Philippines and a couple of days ago in London. Now I'm in Canada in the mountains, in the Rockies, close to Calgary, about 2 hours drive from Calgary. There is a turquoise lake behind me, absolutely breathtaking, beautiful. Now we're hiking, you can see I'm breathless, getting old, right? But there are some youngsters with me, beautiful youth from Canada, Muslim brothers, and they have some questions. So I said, why don't we have this conversation on camera? You ask questions and I'll try my best to answer them so that you can also benefit, brothers and sisters. I like to have fun together, you know, share the beautiful thoughts and moments for my life. So right now, you may think we are somewhere in Pakistan or something like that. No. This is Canada. This is the Rockies. We are trekking in the mountains in a very beautiful place. Lake Louise. Is that what it's called?
Lake Louise, yes.
Lake Louise, right? Close to Banff, the city of Banff in Canada. 2 hours drive from Calgary. So what's the question, brother? Let's go.
Bismillah. Last night, some of the brothers at the campfire, we were asking each other,
yeah,
especially with everything going on in Palestine and Gaza,
yeah,
and all the protests going on, and just reflecting on the effects on what these protests are really doing. We were thinking, the question was posed is, what's the best thing that youth can do to support Palestine?
Okay, the brother, if you heard the question he's asking, what can we actually do about Palestine, the situation in Gaza? Are the protests doing anything? Are they even worth it? Or what can we do otherwise? I always give advice to my brothers and sisters to play the long game. Don't always look for short-term solutions. You may make noise. You may go out on the streets. You may, you know, scream and shout and vent your anger, let out your frustration. But in the long run, is that changing anything? No, it isn't changing anything. For the last 70 years, we've been making a lot of noise. My advice to everyone out there is, play the long game. Educate yourself. Place yourselves in powerful positions, just like your enemies have done. Just like the people who are brutalizing the people of Gaza, the Zionists. They have played a long game. For the last 200 years, they've been playing this long game, increasing their influence, getting into powerful positions, to the extent that no Western politician has the guts to raise his voice and condemn the atrocities. So my advice is, study power. How do people become powerful? How do people end up in powerful positions? How do they become so influential? What is it? What are they studying? Sociology, philosophy, history, anthropology, global politics, or political sciences, geopolitics, whatever it may be. You need to study those sciences, those subjects that make you powerful, or that give you the acumen to become powerful. So play the long game. Make your noise, raise your voice, register your disapproval, register your protest, but don't stop there. You need to think of the long-term solution, which is to start thinking about how do we become so powerful that we can stop oppression. And why do we want to become powerful? To oppress people? To brutalize people? No, we want to become powerful so that we can change the world to be a better place. This is what Islam teaches us. This is what the Quran teaches us. We are to make this world a better place. And that's only possible when you have the influence Allah wants you to have. That's my answer. If you want specifics, if you want me to spoon feed, I don't know if I can do it in every single one of your cases, but I can give you general advice. Take degrees, become journalists, get into politics, not for your stomachs, not for your properties, not for your little gains, but for a greater goal, because we will all face Allah on the Day of Judgment, and life is very short. No matter how much money you make, how much influence you may have, how many helicopters or private jets you may own, but eventually at the end of it, you're dying. You're going 6 feet down in earth. You're not going to take it with you. So why play that game? Why even try that? Why not work for a greater cause, and that is to make this world a better place? So that's my answer. Any more questions?
Jazakum Allah khairan. I have one following up question on that, Ustaz. Jazakum Allah khairan for that answer. But actually, I'm doing a master's degree in political science.
Okay.
And I have noticed that there is a specific mentality that is common between some Muslims. They do not motivate their children or their sons or daughters to go and to study the
humanities.
Yeah. And actually, I have noticed that in the public service of different governments around the world, you must have some public servants who tell you about the needs of the people and who offer also recommendations and
solutions
for the problems that a government or a nation faces. So how can we motivate the community to push their sons and daughters for doing such degrees or for getting involved in the politics of the countries that we live in?
The problem is the Muslims in general don't think strategically. We think very short term. We are short-sighted. We think of our stomachs. Most of us actually come from countries that are economically developing countries. These parents, a lot of them, they struggled financially when they were growing up, and they project that struggle onto their children, and they want their children to do well economically. So they send them into these money-making schemes. Become an accountant, become a lawyer, become a doctor. Sorry, Abdul Fattah. Okay? Become a doctor. Okay? These are noble causes, noble areas.
Yeah.
But at the same time, how many more? How many more do we need in these areas? We need more people studying subjects like history, philosophy, sociology, okay, anthropology, social sciences, for example, political sciences, okay, geopolitics. We need strategic minds to lead the ummah, to guide the ummah. Okay, stop thinking from your stomachs, because you may pick up a spanner, you may become a worker, but you're not a leader, you're not a thinker, you're not changing the world. Okay. Yeah. So my advice on that point is that you start thinking strategically. Think big. Okay? You may produce a couple of doctors in your family. You may have a bunch of lawyers who are making good money. They may be able to buy cars and a house or two. But that's not changing the world. We need to produce leaders. We need to think strategically. We need to groom our children from a very young age to be great people. When your children are being raised, instead of slapping them up and forcing the Quran down their throats, sending them to the masjid to be beaten by the Maulvi Sahab to learn the Quran, you should think strategically. Instill the love of Islam and the Quran in their hearts. Okay? This is the way to go. And lift their spirit. Just like Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, when he was speaking about Hassan and Hussein, how was he speaking about them? In fact, about Hassan radiallahu anhu, the Prophet said, "Inna ibni hadha sayyadun." This son of mine is a leader, and he's a toddler. He's a little child. And why is the Prophet talking to him or talking about him like this? Because he wants him to be a leader. And he became a leader, as we know. He did a great deed for Islam. He united the Muslims again. So the advice is, stop thinking petty. Stop thinking small. Think strategically. We need leaders, global leaders. We need to produce people who think global, not local, not street-wise, not town-wise or village-wise, but world-wise. This is what we need, inshallah. So send him to subjects, areas of study, which may not be immediately money-making schemes, but once your children become influential, they become powerful, they will automatically, naturally make money. So don't do things for money and a small house here or there, or a car or something like that. That's my advice. You had a question?
I have a question regarding the brothers who are becoming doctors and engineers now.
Yeah.
If I have a passion to maybe inshallah one day help in the you mentioned the problem about we are not involved much in humanities and in liberal arts.
Yeah.
So for the ones who are not studying these fields, but have an interest in these fields.
Yeah.
What would you suggest? Like, is there a set curriculum they can follow to become adept in the liberal sciences?
in rhetoric and in grammar and in logic and humanities and in history. Something, at least what is necessarily foundational for the method to have more of an impact than what you can ask the question.
Look, if you have managed to get a degree or two in money-making schemes, I call them, which they are noble, noble endeavors. Maybe you want to put the camera straight. No, 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 this way. No, no, this way, please.
Okay.
You nearly messed up. Okay. So if you have become a doctor or a lawyer or an accountant, okay, and you have taken up these areas as a career, no problem with that. Make it a means. Make it a means, not the end. Okay, the end should be a greater goal in life. And your education shouldn't stop with your degree in medicine or accountancy or law. That could be the beginning so that you can become financially comfortable and after that take up other areas of study. Like we have many examples, people who were medical doctors, but they became very influential in other fields. Okay? They produced works in other fields. I know people who studied engineering and then they ended up becoming theologians or poets or thinkers for that matter. So people think once I get my degree in law, in accountancy, in medicine, that's the end of my life. No more studies. I was studying for a career. I'm done. Wrong way of thinking. This is very wrong. You have to think big. Make yourself financially comfortable and then keep going. Keep going into other fields that can actually change the world and make it a better place. Strong. Okay. Now that I'm talking to you and we're getting breathless, I just want to have...
So it's up here?
I want you to see, behold, this beauty, natural beauty. Canadian nature. Absolutely amazing. Okay, look at that lake, the color of water. We didn't paint it, by the way. We didn't throw any color in it. That's the natural color. This water is from snow. Okay, you can see the glacier on top. And this is where the water is coming down. And this is a turquoise lake called Lake Louise. And we're walking with brothers from all over Canada. Let's not say where. Okay, let's go, inshallah. So, guys, we're doing Q&A, by the way. Okay, any more questions?
I have another, but I've been selfish. If anyone wants to go.
Yeah, kind of building up on the previous question. Like for example, myself, I've studied engineering.
Oh, getting hard.
There's always a push to get into big companies,
big corporations,
big companies.
Money.
And these are things that just sucks your time completely.
Yeah.
And I've been trying to push, for example, to become a teacher instead.
Right.
So how would we...
Guys, as the question continues, just want you to behold. Absolutely amazing.
SubhanAllah.
This is in this world. Imagine what the Jannah will be like.
Sorry.
No worries.
Very beautiful.
Allahu Akbar. SubhanAllah. If this is the dunya, brothers and sisters, I want you to imagine. Actually, you cannot imagine what Jannah would be like. Allahu Akbar.
SubhanAllah.
Sorry. So your question was, you're in computer sciences and people want you to get into big corporations, work for them, and that takes all your time, right? Okay? And what else? And that's it?
But for me personally, I would like to, for example, get into teaching or something that would create a more meaningful impact, especially with most likely kids in countries like Canada, where they don't really have much of training.
0.75. Right.
How can I, and people like myself, there's many, especially basic people and traditions like myself, over being forced into this.
You see, this is a big problem within our communities. Our kids are being raised to study areas that they don't really have any passion for. They do it to please the parents. They do it for a career, to make money, because this is the mindset. Our kids will grow up, they will go to university, they will get a degree and they'll get a job. This is the mindset. Hardly any parents are thinking, our kids will grow up, they'll become great people, and they will change the world to be a better place. This is the thinking that's lacking, and this is the problem. The brother, he just mentioned that he did computer sciences, and if he goes into a big major corporation to work for that,
company or corporation, he's not going to get time to do things he really wants to do, things he has passion for, teaching, or making a difference to this world. It's in the state, as we can all see, politically, economically, morally, you name it. The world is in a mess. This world is going through a very interesting period in its history. And how are we going to change that? Okay? It is enough for good people to do nothing for bad to flourish. Okay? You become bad as soon as you become idle in the face of evil. So you have to do something. You have to exert your influence to change the world. So again, this is to do with thinking. What you just mentioned there, this is a problem with the mentality. Why do we study? Why do we seek education? People think education is for money. It's for the stomach. It's just buying food, buying a house, buying a car. That's what the education is for. But never, the purpose of education was never that. Even Islamically speaking, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when he describes the virtue of knowledge, this is to raise your status as a human being. Raise your caliber. Raise your thinking. Raise your morals and your values. Not raise your stomach or raise your bank balance or raise your cars. That was never the purpose of education. So we really have to go back to the Quran and start reminding ourselves, what is the verse? أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم هل يستوي الذين لا يعلمون والذين هل يستوي الذين يعلمون والذين لا يعلمون. What does that verse actually mean? That those who have knowledge can never be equal to those who have no knowledge. So we really have to think about this principle. This is a real mess, in particular in the Muslim world, where all our kids, and that's why Palestine is happening. That's why whatever happened in the last 30 years in the Muslim world is happening, because we don't have leaders. We have no leaders. Sorry, you like it or you don't like it, this is the reality. The reason we don't have leaders is because we are not producing leaders. We don't have mechanisms. We don't have plans to produce leaders. But your enemies, they are producing leaders. Albeit for the wrong ends, for evil ambitions, but they are succeeding so far. So we need to change our way of thinking. That's it.
Also, just to finish it off, do you think teaching, especially the kids in Islamic schools here, is a meaningful way to make an impact on the next generation?
Right, Islamic schools.
Yeah, because this is just a personal question, because that's what I'm considering for myself.
Yeah.
Because I think that might help make.
So you're asking me, how do we change the curriculums of Islamic schools?
But also, is this career something that could help create a meaningful impact on the next generation?
Islamic studies. What are you asking
the
about?
Islamic schools here, they have like all kinds of studies, so it's not
okay. Unless Islamic schools are specifically raising leaders, and to teach them basic curriculum, meanings of certain verses of the Quran, or meaning of certain verses of how to teach them how to pray, how to make wudu. All these things are very important. But unless or until you instill in their minds a desire to become those people who will change the world for better, who will play a noble, a moral role in the world, will leave behind a good legacy, they won't do it. They will become ordinary people. They will leave the Islamic school. They will again go into becoming a doctor, a lawyer, or an accountant. Okay? They will make their basic money. Yeah, they may pray 5 times a day. They may fast in Ramadan. They may go for Hajj and Umrah every now and then. But that doesn't necessarily change the world. To change the world, we need specific mindset, specific attitude, okay? And for that, you're going to have to teach your children in that sense, in that way. You're going to have to teach them how to become leaders. For example, teach them history. Teach them the rise and fall of civilizations and dynasties. Why civilizations rise, why they fall. What causes the decline of civilizations? what causes them to rise in the first place. These are the things you need to teach them. So they become global thinkers. They look at the world as if they have a bird's, you know, bird's eye view, rather than looking at the world or looking at the little world as if there's nothing else out there. So you have to expand the horizons of thinking. That's it. I'm sorry if my advice is very vague and general, but I have to give this advice in general terms, but I'm still making specific points. Yes.
Ask another question. Wow. What do you think of?
Oof, look behind me. That's amazing, right? This is the most dynamic video on my YouTube channel. It's going to be. You know why? Because I have about 7 cameramen. The phone is shifting from person to person. That's why the skills and and the quality of cameramanship is probably changing. But alhamdulillah, jazakallah khair, everyone, for carrying the phone. Yes, sorry. Yeah, so the question was?
Speaking about the Muslim history.
Yeah.
What do you think are maybe 5 most important Muslim events or events that happen in Muslim history or themes in Muslim history that every Muslim man or woman should know in modern times?
Look, I can speak in traditional, conventional terms and give you those major events that changed the course of history. For example, early Islamic expansion. Okay, Muslims took a lot of territory. That was a dynamic event in the 7th century that took place when the Muslims came out of Arabia and they took a lot of land. Then after that, I believe Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal and some of the ulama standing up to Greek philosophical influences, Hellenic influences, they stood up to that and they protected Islamic identity, the purity of Islam. Okay? You cannot lose the purity of Islam just because you are influenced by another civilization or its achievements. Don't ever let the achievements of another civilization deceive you into thinking that we need to upgrade Islam or we need to add to Islam or we need to reform Islam to reach to that level. Because Islam has everything. Islam is a very comprehensive way of life. Islam works on personal development, morals, most importantly morals, that's the first thing. Makes you a better human being, it should. And after that, the natural outcome is, once you become moral human beings, upright human beings, naturally, you will produce great people who will do great things. And just like that, in the Islamic history, once Islam had spread throughout the Mediterranean world and beyond, even in the Persian territory, great luminaries were born. Poets, thinkers, intellectuals, scientists, philosophers, theologians, you name it. Islam and the Muslim civilization produced these great personalities. And the credit goes to Islam. So, I would say 5 major events. Early Islamic expansion. Imam Ahmad, his stand against Hellenic influences, his stand against the Mu'tazila, okay, was a very important event. Preservation of hadith done by the students of Imam Ahmad. For example, Imam Bukhari, Muslim, Abu Dawud, Tirmidhi, Ibn Majah, Nasai. These people, they all belonged to one group of people who decided that we must preserve the Sunnah of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. That's also very important. Okay. Then, colonialism was something that put us on the back foot, okay, took away a lot of our identity. Our people, generally Muslims in the Muslim world, were pretty much all colonized by Western powers in the 19th century, and we pretty much lost our sense of identity. And this is what we're trying to revive and bring back. Now, that does not mean that we don't make progress. We do make progress. We love technology. We love scientific research. How do we know that? For 1,000 years, Muslims dominated scientific research. Some of the best labs, some of the best libraries, some of the best scientists and thinkers were in the Muslim world. How did that happen? If Islam was detrimental to scientific advancement and technology, How did you produce so many people for 1,000 years of that magnitude? So, the point is, there are many major events that took place that shaped our history. Some of them we're going through right now in this age. We are making history right now. Everything that's happening in the world today is going to become part of history. It's going to be documented. The question is, where are you in that picture? What role do you play? Do you want to just be born, eat, go to the toilet and die? Is that what you want? That's what cattle do. Okay, but if you want to make an impact, then move. Start thinking big. Inshallah, things will change. And you will make history. You will become that part of Muslim history that people will talk about. Inshallah. Okay, thank you so much. I think we should stop here. I'm getting more breathless. We're inclining more and more. So, thank you so much, brothers and sisters. We'll be sharing more similar content in the coming days. So I will title this video Q&A with the Canadian youth in the Canadian mountains. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam.
You can stop the video now.